Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, and my guest is Jim Walsh, who is an associate professor at the Department of Political Science at the University of Colorado, Denver. And Jim, you're very welcome. Very welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
Jim, I want to ask you, first of all, about yourself for instance, where did you grow up?
I'm from western Pennsylvania, just a little bit north of Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. And so when did you, and what attracted you to Denver and Colorado?
Well, I moved to Colorado in 1990 and attended graduate school.
Yes.
At the University of Colorado. And that's the reason that I started to research the history of Irish immigrants in early Colorado.
Excellent. Now, you came across something that I don't know how many people would have known it, but it's a kind of unique story in the sense that you didn't exactly stumble across this mass grave for miners, most of them Irish. More than 1,000 Irish miners died. And what period are we talking about?
Yeah, so we're talking about one of the largest silver booms in North American history in Leadville, Colorado, which was which started in around 1877 and lasted for about 15 years.
What brought the emigrants? The famine of 1845 to 1852 didn't end in 52 because there were a lot of those who weren't much better off after that period and had to go somewhere. I know that in the west of Ireland in particular, people in County Mayo and indeed the neighboring counties, many of whom were going and had connections to those who, in places like Scranton, Pennsylvania, you know, the coal mines, many others, spread out through hearsay or whether there were relatives or friends that had, gone before them, had set up in strange places. What was the attraction and what mines did you have in Colorado at that time?
What mines did we have?
They weren't coal mines. They were.
Yeah, there were coal mines, but they were in different parts of the state. At that time, it was really hard rock mining. There were a series of gold mines throughout the central Colorado region. And then this was really the largest silver rush. And the population of Leadville quickly went from about 500 to close to 40,000. In just a few years.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea. And the largest ethnic group who came to Leadville was the Irish. There were twice as many Irish people in Leadville as any other ethnic group. So they took the entire east side of the town, and it was a mixture between Irish born people who largely came from County Cork in the Alahees region in the Barra Peninsula. But also came from other mining parts of Ireland and England, such as, Waterford and Tipperary, Donegal, Mayo, And then some came from England. Some had mined in places like Cledermore in England or in Nova Scotia in Canada, and then made their way west to Leadville. And then many of them were also Irish-American, were American-born Irish, who came from places like the anthracite coal region of eastern Pennsylvania. There's a strong connection to the anthracite region and the legendary Molly Maguires and Leadville. And the reason for that is when the those alleged to be Molly Maguires were hanged in Pennsylvania mm-hmm. in the late 1870s, the Leadville silver boom had just started. So I believe, based upon the data, that hundreds of Irish from that region came to Leadville. So it was really quite a network, a migration network that was, you know, that was all over the British Isles and Canada and North America, places like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the copper mines there, the lead mines of northwestern Illinois and southwestern Wisconsin. Many of them were born in that region and then made their way to Leadville. So this was the largest Irish community at that time between the West Coast and the Midwest. So this really was the largest in the entire Rocky Mountain region. But it wasn't well known because it declined pretty rapidly when the silver market collapsed in the early 1890s. The town began to decline and people began to move elsewhere. And that's the reason why everyone's heard of Butte, but no one's heard of Leadville. Mm-hmm. So we're changing that now.
Yes. Now, there weren't, they really weren't recruited for their skills. It was brawn and it was, they were ostracized to, you know, to a great degree, too, as you found in your research.
Absolutely. They were, the bottom of the social ladder in Leadville was the Irish. They were the most working class. The highest percentage of men were miners than any other ethnic group, and they struggled. They organized unions, and they struggled to change their working conditions. They launched two massive strikes, asking for a raise from $3 a day to $4, from 10 hours a day to 8-hour workday, and for recognition of their union. They weren't asking for anything terribly radical. They just wanted, a more equitable situation and a safer situation than they had. And both strikes were met with militarily. The governor declared martial law and sent the Colorado National Guard to crush the strikes both times. So this was an Irish community that was very desperate, very transient, and they were living at the highest incorporated town in North America, 10,200 feet. The winters were absolutely brutal, and they were in very sort of flimsy wooden shacks, trying to raise children and live their lives. And that's how this cemetery matters, is that there really isn't anything else besides this pauper cemetery that gives us a visceral and a visual representation of the hardships that they endured.
Now, this cemetery, has it been closed or has it moved to another location? I mean, was it a parochial cemetery or was it run by the church? Or
The Catholic part,
yes,
was run by the Catholic Church. Yeah, this was the first large cemetery in Leadville, and it's, you know, as most cemeteries were at the time, segregated by religion, also by class. So you have the regular section, and then there's the pauper section in the back, which has a Catholic pauper section and a Protestant pauper section, and it's been sort of forgotten. The reason is it's covered with ice and snow most of the year.
Yeah.
So you can't see the graves because they don't have markers. And I didn't discover the cemetery. The locals have always known about it, but I think the historical value of the cemetery wasn't recognized until now. And now we know it's valuable because, well, the records, you know, indicate that most of the people buried in the Catholic pauper section are I estimate 80% of them are Irish. The burials there only lasted about 10 years until they built a new cemetery, St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery, and they started burying people there. So there's thousands of burials, pauper burials in this cemetery, and it only represents about a 10-year, you know, chunk of time. So that gives you an idea of how many people lived there.
And let me ask you, Jim Walsh, about... like is the cemetery cordoned off? Is it abandoned? What does the area look like? And how did you start your research on the pauper's grave?
Well, I wouldn't call it abandoned as much as I would call it forgotten. The regular section of the cemetery is very well cared for, with large stones. But then once you get beyond that section, you have to look to see the sunken graves. You wouldn't notice them unless you were looking for them. So a friend of mine who grew up here brought me there years ago when I started my research, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, just acres of sunken graves. Many of them, instead of being 6 or 7 feet long, they are 2 or 3 feet long because they're children and babies. And I left that pauper cemetery feeling a responsibility that this was going to be my life's work, and that's what it's happened. It's become my life's work. I just want to add, the average age of the people in the Catholic pauper section is 23, and 46% of them are children 12 or younger.
Wow.
So the tragedy of life in that time period can't be understated. So I believe this cemetery is not just a memorial to the Leadville Irish. It's not just a memorial to the Colorado Irish. It's really a memorial to, you know, the numbers of Irish who died in industrial labor in the 19th century in this country, which is massive. Railroad work, canal digging, mine work. And this cemetery is in many ways a representation of that people can come there and know that larger story and how many victims there were.
Now, where are or were the records? There had to be some kind of records, I assume, that were preserved to identify, you know, even the surnames of a lot of those who went to the pauper's grave. Was, how did you go? You actually, it wasn't, was it all easily accessed, or did you have a hassle with that?
Well, the Lake County Public Library has all the cemetery records available, and part of those records lists the names of those buried in the pauper section. I'll add, though, that everyone in Leadville who knows anything about Leadville's history, who grew up here, always says that there's hundreds more who are not listed in the records who are buried there because they might have been buried unofficially just by a family member or something. So there's several hundred who will not have their names on the memorial because we can't get their names. We don't know who they are. The other records that were very useful, I felt very lucky to find them, was the parish records at Annunciation Catholic Church, the Irish church. Yeah. And those parish records, marriage, baptism, internment, they were so valuable because they didn't just list the country of birth. They listed the county of birth, in some cases, the town of birth. So those records were like gold for me because they allowed me to trace the network patterns that brought people to Leadville and to sort of open up a larger conversation about how people made their way across North America, particularly in mining communities. There was like a network of mining communities that spanned the British Isles and North America and even Australia.
Yeah. And you know, I think most of us think that coal mines, yes, it was tough. It was not desirable work, but and it was very hard. But a lot of the miners who came, you know, from Ireland, of course, from different countries, but from Ireland, didn't have a lengthy lifespan because of the, you know, the conditions. Were you able to get a read of to what the conditions were in the mines itself? I know I'm delighted to hear that they were strong and that they unionized and whatever. But what was the life of a miner?
Well, their shifts were 10 hours or even more, sometimes 12 hours a day. We see from some written accounts and some speeches that the miners gave that they were constantly aware of what they were breathing in, that their lungs tended to decline after so many years in the mines. We know that the temperatures they would be working in you know, the bowels of the mines in hot, you know, hot temperatures, and they would sweat, their clothes would be wet with sweat, and then they would emerge at the end of their shift in the darkness, you know, after their shift was over, and it would be 5 degrees below zero. Their clothes would freeze before they made it home. And, you know, I think that they weren't prepared for these conditions coming from sea level to 10,000 feet, and many, you know, that meant that childbirth was very dangerous and very difficult, and the numbers of babies who didn't make it. About 8% of the burials are listed as stillborn. It's a very high number listed as stillborn, and we're still trying to understand what that meant at that time.
Jim, getting you are not just this. You know, starting this project, as a matter of fact, you're at least halfway through. Tell us about the memorial and how will it look, and what is the design like?
Yeah, we have a great coalition of groups here working on the memorial, the Irish Network of Colorado, the Rocky Mountain Irish Roots Collective, and other groups. The memorial is going to be a large raised mound, earthen mound of about 100 feet in diameter and about 10 feet high. And there'll be spiral walkways that visitors can take to the center, to the top of the mound. There'll be a statue of a miner kneeling on one knee and looking upward sort of reflectively. We didn't want a statue of a miner working. We didn't want to emphasize the work. We wanted to emphasize the thought, the reflection that these men must have had as they worked, you know, their dreams. So the miner is reflecting, maybe even daydreaming. He's carving out of a piece of granite, a harp is emerging from the granite. You know, the symbolism of the harp in Irish culture. And then on all four sides of the statue, there'll be glass panels with all the names and the ages of those buried there. And by the way, the non-Irish names will also be on the glass panels along with the Irish.
Now, I believe that, you are getting the support of the Irish government, who have indeed taken an interest even earlier on. Where's the money coming from? What kind of fundraising have you taken so far, and how do we help with the remaining funds that are needed?
Yeah, so our largest donor is the Irish government. We've won a couple of large grants somewhere around $75,000 from the Irish government. We've had some fundraisers, some gala fundraisers here, two or three of those. We've raised a good deal more. And I've done some social media fundraising. On this summer, I bicycled through the anthracite coal region of Pennsylvania and upstate New York to the Erie Canal, and I raised money on GoFundMe.
Wow.
I raised about $12,000 on social media. So we've raised, I'm going to guess, maybe $160,000. We estimate that we will need around 250, so we're starting to get there, but we still have a ways to go. Anyone who wants to donate can just go to the Irish Network of Colorado's website. I think it's I don't off the top of my head I don't remember, but there's, if you go to the, just Google the Irish Network of Colorado and go to their website, there's a donate button that's easy to find, and you can donate through the website there.
That's terrific. And again, what about your own website? Because that's how we found you in the first place. There's a lot of history there above and beyond that, but this in particular, I think that those who are into social media and, you know, for educational institutions as well, you tell, not only just tell the story, but you positively have done an amazing amount of research, and now I found, by the way, the it's www.irishnetwork.co.com, which of course the CO identifying Colorado. You are, I know that you're coming to New York with some appointments lined up. We want to wish you luck on that, because your own research is unique. And can we get that through the Irish Network, Colorado? Can we get the link into your research and your articles?
Not through the Irish Network, but you could easily find it just by Googling my name and Leadville Irish. You would find, you know, a few articles, three or four articles that I've published about it, along with newspaper articles as well. So,
well, it's great indeed to, again, to discover you, and you have a wealth of information. Jim Walsh, and who is an associate professor at University of Colorado in Denver. Jim, again, good luck to you, and continue with what is a great great source of not only information, but of interest to those of us who don't know that much about a lot of immigrants who wound up in one of the toughest jobs in America at that period. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. And any of your listeners, if they want to reach me, they can reach me at james.walsh@ucdenver.edu. I'd love to hear from some of them.
Now, that's great. Okay, we'll pass. Well, I'm glad you gave us that as well. Okay, thank you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.